50 years ago today, the tiny town of Bethel, New York, was transformed into a teeming city of more than 400,000. Today, the site of the Woodstock Music and Art Fair, as it was officially called, is on the National Register of Historic Places. And for some of the folks who were there, and others who weren't, it's a place of pilgrimage, memories, and a museum full of memorabilia. Karen Michelle went to Bethel Woods and brought back this report.
Carl Porter and I are sitting in what used to be the town of Bethel's post office and general store. Now it's a family-run cafe. We're looking out the window at the 1963 Pontiac Tempest that he's had for more than 50 years, when his family had a home nearby.
It's like a Disney World ride to drive in here in the same car that I drove in 1969. That just takes me away. It's wonderful.
Porter was 21 then. He was in the service, and his leave and the Woodstock Music and Art Festival coincided. Thrilled as he was, lots of the other locals weren't.
I remember the sign when the farmer put it out on the side of the road.
It's the first thing he notices at a Woodstock exhibition in the Bethel Woods Center for the Arts Museum, which sits on the actual site.
That's actually an old porcelain tabletop that he scribbled that sign on it to chase away the hippies. And it says, "Local people, speak out. Stop Max's Hippie Music Festival. No 150,000 hippies here."
Max was Max Yasger, owner of the dairy farm on whose land Woodstock took place. In the days leading up to the festival, Porter says he'd often check in at the general store, monitoring the chaos.
This was ground zero of the pictures you see of the traffic jams and people camped on people's lawns and just thousands of people off in the distance in every direction. 2, 3, 4 lanes of abandoned cars on this two-lane road. People just left the cars and walked away and didn't come back for days.
Why must every generation think their folks are square? And no matter where their heads are, they know moms ain't there.
John Sebastian wasn't scheduled to perform, but he decided to go anyway. He'd heard that getting there by car was impossible, so he hitched a ride in a helicopter and got a view that's become iconic.
All sleeping bags and Volkswagen buses and little tents, and it was astonishing. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that.
And in the midst of it stood Bobby Kelly and Nick Erkelein.
Our intent was just to go up, check it out, see what all the hubbub was, and be home so I could go to Mass the next day on Sunday. That didn't happen. I'm not sure what we anticipated.
A party.
A party, yes. We were very excited, so we brought beer, wine, a little weed, but nothing else. No food, no change of clothes, nothing to sit on. In fact, we picked the blanket up that we are photographed in on our way into the site.
That famous image on the cover of the Woodstock album shows a young couple enveloping each other wrapped in a blanket. An original print usually hangs above the now long married couple's dining room table, not so far from the museum at Bethel Woods, where it's currently on display.
Boy, I can feel that.
Yes, I do.
So he went down to the site and looked for the place of that immortalized dawn embrace. But as the saying goes, if you really were there, you don't remember.
He tells me we were up there someplace.
Well, you can actually see it.
Directions are not my my strongest point, and if he says we were there, that's where we were.
There was a young Polish couple there that day, too. It was a pilgrimage for them, says 24-year-old Oscar Sula.
To see the place where the history happened.
What do you know about Woodstock?
That was a festival, yeah. Right now in Poland we have the Woodstock Stop. This is another festival, 600,000 people every year. And it's the same idea, peace and love. And we just wanted to see the origins.
The Erkelines introduced themselves as that couple.
Do you like a picture?
A few selfies were taken. For Bobby, nostalgia and reflection ensued.
I'm just very grateful to be a very small part of Woodstock. There's a lot of sadness, viciousness, and selfishness in today's world. And there was none of that at Woodstock.
When you talk about it, it doesn't feel like it's 50 years ago.
I think that's a fair assessment.
John Sebastian still lives about an hour and a half away.
In many ways, it doesn't feel that way to me. Because it was such a high point, that kind of amazing experience that you'd carry with you your whole life.
That kid's going to be far out.
Sebastian adds, it couldn't happen today. So perhaps to experience what Woodstock was then, you now have to go to Poland. For NPR News, I'm Karen Michelle in Bethel Woods, New York.
I've been waiting my time.